The following is a Bachelor of Arts production.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to the Purple Room. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce the host of the Supporting Act Podcast, Mr. Old Man Matthew Moskal. There he is.
How's everyone doing tonight? Let's try this again. Let's pretend I just proposed to somebody off the stage. How's everybody doing tonight? Oh my God, they're gonna be so happy together. All right, I like it. I like the smiling faces I can see in the crowd tonight. Welcome to episode number 65 of the Supporting Act Podcast, brought to you live from the beautiful Purple Room in downtown Winnipeg, Manitoba. The few and the enlightened who made it here tonight after following that treasure map that we posted online, you were all brilliant for having made it, so thank you so much. Give yourselves a round of applause for being in the crowd tonight. There's a thing I'm going through mentally right now where I'm like, this is really neat because, like, technically I'm part of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival right now.
Yeah.
But, like, I can say I was in it, but was I any good? Like, that's the thing I'm debating at this point.
Well, you can't say that right now. You've been on stage for a minute and a half.
We should just hand out scorecards to the audience, I think, is what we should do.
They shouldn't put anything on it because there's nothing to judge yet thus far, Matt.
I'm trying to set this at an even keel.
I'm not trying to make you feel self-conscious because I know you already are, but I just want to say that there's no way, plus or minus, anyone could judge you right now.
JD, I'm so self-conscious that, like, I got a step counter before I came up here tonight and attached it to my pants, and I have officially walked 10 kilometers just pacing the floor around this venue before this show started, so.
Well, all that aside, we still can't judge you. Nothing really hilarious has happened thus far. But Matt, I have a lot of faith in you. You've done a lot of walking. And I think that should be viewed as a plus.
You should see my quads, man. They feel...
I would rather not. I'd rather you do something funny. Not saying you haven't. Just saying you should.
I wish I had thought in advance to, like, tattoo the funniest joke in the world on the back of my quads so I could have followed that up with a spectacular reveal, but...
Let's move on, Matt.
Let's move on. If you're unfamiliar with the show, we are a weekly podcast brought to you every Sunday at midnight on UMFM 101.5 FM here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. You can also download this program from iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Liberated Syndication, and we have our own website now, thesupportingact.com, which I just took the format from Trombone Shorty's website and put my own face on all the pictures. So far, no lawsuits, so we're doing okay, folks. We're doing okay.
Should you have said that?
No.
Okay.
No, I should not. But Trombone Shorty ain't listening to the show, my friend. I can see where the downloads are coming from, and there's nothing from New Orleans right now.
Well, take it where you can get it, sir.
Take it where you can get it. That's right. So we've got a great panel of comedians who are all taking part in this year's Winnipeg Comedy Festival joining us here at the venue tonight. I'm very excited to have them come up and share their comedic stylings with you, as well as, answer some spontaneous on-the-spot questions that we have for them. Some stuff that JD and I have not prepared at all. We've barely spoke before
this. I haven't, but I hoped you had.
I have done the bare minimum of research.
You just looked at the Winnipeg Comedy Festival flyer.
I will be asking
all
my
questions.
Was
that your research?
That's right. I will be asking all of my
questions.
Yes, it's
a comedy festival in Winnipeg.
We'll do the flight attendant routine. Everybody, you'll find a Winnipeg Comedy Festival flyer.
Yes, Matt. More visual gags.
Next to you. Yes.
More visual gags for the podcast.
That's
please.
Right. More visual gags for the audio medium.
Yes.
For all of you listening out there in podcast land, I'm afraid that 90% of the jokes have gone over your head entirely because you're not here to enjoy this right now. But also, there's a few benefits. Like, they don't know that my desk is a stool. That's pretty...
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they do, but...
Mine is basically a large block of wood.
That's right. You take what you can get here at the Purple Room. There's a place in Vegas that's like the neon graveyard of like all the retired signs from casinos. This place is basically like the graveyard of seats from bars that have closed down in Winnipeg.
And left behind sets of former community access television shows. There's a lot of relics of Winnipeg entertainment past in this room, and I really enjoy that about it.
I'd like to think that there's somebody out there who comes in here and is like just marvels and just, he's blown away by like, oh, those are the chairs from Finn's and that's from the Weak Fist. That's Dan Ewan. That's Dan Ewan on that side, man.
The saddest, most excited man in the world.
I want to be that passionate about something, JD. I want to be that passionate about something.
All right. Shall we get rolling, sir?
Yeah, yeah. First of all, I want to run another round of applause for JD Renault for being my co-host for this evening.
Oh, thank
you. On the ones and twos, handling the music cues. Let's get to the reason we're all here tonight, folks. The Winnipeg Comedy Festival is running from the 6th of April to the 12th. We are a satellite event brought to you absolutely free, so I won't be coming around with a collection plate later on. But you will have an opportunity to win some tickets here tonight. That's right. You could leave with, you know, substantially more money than you put in there. Anything exponentially technically is more than what you put into the show tonight, unless you paid for gas, in which case I'm not reimbursing you for anything. But you could win some tickets to a number of events. We've got some gala tickets. We've got some tickets for the Winnipeg show. And we've got some tickets for Westborg's Ha. So we've got some great stuff to give out here tonight throughout the proceedings of the program. But let's get to our first guest.
Yes.
When I said I wanted to interview a panel of comedians who are taking part in the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, I didn't anticipate getting the comedian that started the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. So, ladies and gentlemen, humble thyselves.
Avert your gaze.
Avoid eye contact for this entire next segment. Please welcome to the stage, Al Ray.
Wow. So if I talk in here like this, you guys can hear me, and then I can do a little stand-up. Is that the,
Absolutely.
The routine? So I'll just do some... it feels weird with my back to you there, but... But I'll talk to you guys a little bit and then do a little comedy.
Yeah.
That sounds good. But this is, this is good. And thank you. And I like that, you know, you started the show, Matt, there with to say, this is part of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. And it was nice of you to say that. I just wondered, there's a couple of words I'd love you to add. Could you do that as you do it throughout the show?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can, so just keep saying, so when you, next time you say, part of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, if you could just add the two words, not actually, at the beginning of that sentence. Could you do that for us? So it would sound like that. So you would say, we're not actually part of the Comedy Festival.
Right.
That'd be great if you could do that. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's good. And I'm pleased to see that you're drawing less people than... Cosby, a man who drugged and sexually assaulted 24 women, still gets more fucking people into his house to see him than you guys do. You have been doing this. I was here 2 years ago, and there was about this many people here.
Yeah, that sounds
And
great.
I thought when I came back, something miraculous would have happened.
We were happy with that level. Kinda, we wanted to keep it
it's
there.
It's kind of staying the same.
Yeah.
We tried to clean the alleyway. But...
And yet, you know, and I can't blame you guys. Because you're doing the right things. You got like, an ATM, you know, for people, which is good, you know. And then you've got the snacks, which are good.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful looking room and you painted it and you have, you know, once in a while you have high quality entertainment.
Yeah.
So you're doing all that. And so, I think it comes out, I don't think people like Paul Little at all.
No.
And, I think that's what this guy's heckling me. He's a young man. He's heckling. No, this is nice though. This is great and great to be here. And a big hand for these guys. And thank you for doing that. And we brought some Winnipeg Comedy Festival tickets for you guys. We have some free tickets. Yes.
Yes. The person who's quiet the longest gets free tickets.
This guy can have some tickets. What's your name, sir?
Moses.
Moses.
No, Moses.
I don't get it. That's good. So no, this is a great, and I just, it's nice to be here, doing a set here, back in town, in my hometown, Canada's most racist city. It's good to be here performing. I did a show I was in Clearwater, last night. You know, I just had to get out of town because, when I want to get away from racists, I head to rural Manitoba. That's right. That's what I do. But it's nice. Even though I got 5 minutes here, I can do some of my act. You guys don't know this. Maybe you won't like it. But I came out of the closet a couple of years ago, and one of the things that happened was I burned off all my act because I had jokes about being married and all this kind of, I couldn't do them anymore. And when you go to a small town, you can't do the new stuff because they'll kick the shit out of you. And so I just put the clock back, and I pretend I'm still in the closet, and it's deceptive, but I take the Benjamins anyway. See what I'm saying? But you know, if I realized how much of my material I was going to lose, I probably would have thunk it over a bit more. But I did come out of the closet, and you learn things. Like, I didn't even know what that expression meant, come out of the closet. You know, I mean, you get it metaphorically, right? You're kind of there now, then you're out. But I didn't know the etymology of it. And it's old. I don't know if you know this. It goes back to the Middle Ages.
Really?
Yes, because in the Middle Ages, I don't know if you guys know this, the anus was referred to as the closet, right? So come out of the closet was to have semen drip out of your anus, you see? And therefore it caught on. This is so, if you had come out of your closet, you were a homo. That's how they did it back then. This is true. And so the anus would call the closet, and then, but the vagina was still the vagina. But it was pronounced vagina. Because this is another thing you got, in the Middle Ages, everyone had an East Indian accent. I don't know if you know this, but it's true. Even in the West, everyone had an East Indian accent. But it slowly went away, and now we speak more sort of like we do now, but it was over time. This is true. This is all very historically true. But I knew for a long time. But I didn't come out. So, you know, I was 23 years, sir, I was married. But I was a homo. But I was married. And people said, well, we had a kid and we had a family and all that, but people said, why did it take you so long? You kind of knew around 14 or 15, and yet at 50, you come out. And it's not just about being, you know, the fact that 50-year-old men are just, well, that's a hot ticket in the gay community, right? They love, the out of shape middle aged guys. That's a big ticket. I don't know if you know that, but, 15 and then 50, very, very long time. Why did you wait so long? There is a reason. I'm not terribly proud of it. I'm a huge, pothead. And so, well, thank you. I would wake up and I would say, you know, you gotta be true to yourself today. And I'd go, you know, I went to the video store and I took out the garbage. That's a day. And then I'd smoke a big fatty. And then time passes. And that's all that happened. I just, I smoked too much weed. So I stayed in the closet. There's many gay people will tell you that's the reason. They would have come out sooner, but they did not have the momentum. The marijuana had caused lethargy to the point of betraying their own authenticity. That's a lot of weed to smoke when you're not even true to yourself. Right, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Robbie is coming up is a lesbian woman, and but we will not know it until he's 60. And then of course it'll be posthumous because you're not getting to 60 unless you skip a few McDonald's meals, my friend. I mean that out of love and respect. You eat too much junk food. Way too much junk. But no, it's you know, you have to tell people. You do. Well, you don't have to, but then, you know, it's kind of pointless. And so you tell people, and you don't know how people are going to react in your close family. You hope for the best, but you never know. And so in my family, maybe this is predictable, I don't know. My mother, just fine. Right from the start, just fine. My mother-in-law, Not so much. She was angry. She was very, very angry. And my daughter was mortified. And she's 22 years old. She was horrified that I was come out as gay. Not because she's not progressive, because she's 22, and kids today, they're fine with everything. It was not that somebody was saying that they were gay. It was that I was saying that I was gay, not because she was ashamed of her father, but because she thinks that gay people are cool, and so, and they dress nice, and they're hip, and they're good dancers and stuff. So she was just mortified. She's like, no, Dad, no, no. I might as well have said, I think I'm going to give this whole rap thing a whirl. She would have been just as less mortified at what ended up happening. But that's about all I have, I think, to say. But, you know, it's good, and things are moving forward, and I think homophobia is ending, and things are getting better all around the world except for Russia, which I don't really consider to be part of the world. And but things are moving on all fronts, even more conservative fronts. And then, well, you know, that new Pope, eh? Mm. What a guy. That new Pope, I mean, it's been very interesting. He's so humble and progressive, you know? He's so humble and progressive. I don't care how many kids he's fucking. I honestly don't. That's my set. There. Hillary, everybody.
I was gonna say, I thought people were really shy when you brought up marijuana. There was like maybe one person clapping. Like, guys, this is an audio medium. People are gonna be hearing this online. No one can see who clapped when, you know, when he asked, do people like marijuana? So, like, do you guys smoke pot ever?
There isn't someone listening to this, someone's boss here who's like, that was Larry's clap, and then you get fired. So it's okay.
We have this, we have this couple down the road where, from where we live, and, young, like they're in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
And we go over there for dinner, my partner or something, and they have this little, 6-year-old, kid. And so, the mother will put the little 6-year-old to bed.
Yeah.
And, then we'll go, they have this lovely sunroom, Wolseley, you know, they have this nice little sunroom. And so put the little guy to bed, and we'll go and we'll smoke a little, marijuana. And, my partner was telling me, the mother was telling the other day that, she went to pick up the little guy from school, and the teacher calls the mother over, and she says, I just wanted to tell you something. She says, it's no big deal. She said, but we went on a field trip the other day, and we're walking across this field, and down an alley, there's some teenagers and they're smoking a joint, and your little guy says, smells like bedtime.
Starting him off right. That's good.
Molson loved that one. Excellent. Well, Al, you must be ecstatic that you're at 14 years, is it, of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival?
We're very happy we're very pleased. I mean, yeah, 14 years is terrific. And, you know, we have a very good group, a small group, but a great group of people that put it together. So we've been able to get the momentum. I mean, the most surprising part, honestly, is that one of the things that helps us to keep it going every year financially and exposure-wise is that they broadcast them on CBC television.
Yeah.
And so that corresponds with a 14-season television series run in Canada, which is even more exciting, you know? I'm surprised every year, like, you know, we're getting into the this hour is 22 minutes, you know, kind of territory, you know, and we're just, yeah, that's very exciting, you know?
Yeah, and you don't have to rely on, you know, the cast not getting stale every season because you can just...
Well, we rotate, yeah, I mean, that's the other exciting thing about it. And yeah. Possibly the reason that you can do it every single year is, as you said quite correctly, we rotate the cast. And this year, 90 comedians and 43 shows. So it's
wow.
Our biggest, yeah, production-wise, it's our biggest festival
yeah.
Ever.
I think it goes without saying, like, a big part of my upbringing and the reason I got interested in comedy in the first place, why I talked to so many comedians, is because growing up, like, CBC was such a great place to find stand-up comedy. They would air, you know, Just for Laughs Festival every year. They would air different, you know, hour-long sort of comedy specials from certain select
Mike
comedians.
Mike McDonald, who's coming this year, had two or three specials. There was a great stand-up series in the 90s called Comics, which was amazing. And you got your own half-hour TV show. You know, it was unheard of at the time, you know, and very exciting. So, yeah, I mean, CBC has been a great promoter of stand-up over the years.
Yeah, it's and like, did anybody else, is anybody in the room right now, did they grow up with, like, CBC comedy specials? Like, I remember, like, staying up late just to watch, like, John Wayne specials on, like, the Comedy Network or on CBC. And then when I finally met the guy, he like, stole an interview from me. Like, I was sitting there with my microphone set up, waiting to interview another comic, and he just wandered over in his, like, sort of John Wing fashion, and he was just sort of like, what are we doing over here? And he just put the headphones on and just started asking me questions and engaged in interview. It was mind-boggling. So thank you, first of all, for bringing him back every year.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and how did that start happening exactly? Was it just, like, he's the first person to email you every year and be like, you know, I've been thinking about your festival, and...
It's just one of those momentum things. I mean, John is a comic I'd known for years, and when we started out, John was, you know, 14 years ago. John Wing was one of maybe, you know, two dozen reliable kind of Canadian stand-up comics that you could call upon.
Yeah.
And he's just been very solid. And because we do thematic kind of stand-up shows, John is, you know, is quite prolific when it comes to getting new material. And then it's one of those things where, you know, after the eighth, it becomes a kind of, you know, by rote, right? And then, you know, and then it's that thing where you're kind of, you know, obligated. And I said to John, actually, that we'll keep it going, but it's never like a commitment. You can't make it a commitment, you know, where you say you're going to come every single year, because it always has to, there has to be some kind of a quality, you know, assurance kind of thing. But, you know, John is so solid every single year that unless he really shits the bed this year, he'll be back next year.
Well, you're roasting him this year, right?
We are roasting him this year, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I got one joke so far.
Okay.
For John, which is that John Wing, you know, he's got many accomplishments, including performing on the Tonight Show 10 years before the current host was born.
I hope he...
The joke being that it would have been a long time ago that he was on, suggesting a decline in interest on the Tonight Show to have him back.
I think I got this. Anybody? Jimmy Fallon? By a round of applause. You know Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon. He's funny. He's invented his own thing.
Yeah.
He's good. He's good.
Molson really likes
him. Well, that seals the deal if you like him, sir.
Is the guy, like, are you guys brothers? Are you the Molson twins by any chance? Like,
I like that. It's Molson. It's like the Olsen twins with an M in front of it.
Yeah.
Good wordplay, Matt. You're doing great.
Yeah.
That scoreboard you were worried about before, you're doing all
right. It worked on that level.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're like that little yodeling guy on The Price is Right right now. We're going to go over the top very soon. I want to get
too high on that corn there, Matt. You're going to fall right off the mountain.
Let's get to our next comedian. Thank you, Al, for joining us. And you booked this next comedian for the Winnipeg show. So, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the comedy stylings of Miss Melanie Darling.
Oh, I like her. She's good.
So cool, I was over there and now I'm over here. This is real exciting. It's as exciting as the time the Spice Girls followed me on Twitter. It turned out it wasn't actually them, it was an unauthorized fan club, but it's still really nice to be acknowledged by your peers some of the time. Have you guys been noticing, like, okay, it's about to be nice out and everybody's like posting their fitspiration? Are you seeing that? No, you guys have jobs? Okay. I'm seeing a lot of this, like, fitspiration. And I saw one that I really liked where this slogan was like, what are you going to be this summer? Are you going to be sexy or jealous? And I was like, oh, I was going to be not giving a shit. I'm not sure what to tell you. Incidentally, that's the easiest way to be sexy and make a lot of people jealous and just not giving a shit. It's been working out real great for me so far. Yeah, but I do think about losing weight some of the time. I think about it. I don't do it, but I think about it. And because I'm an actor and casting directors don't quite know what to do with, like, my type, because I'm not skinny enough to be a leading lady, but I'm not fat enough to follow her around like, mm-hmm, you know? Like, I'm just, like, in the middle. I'm, like, brave choice fat. You know, when a producer is like, we're going to make one of those edgy movies where the people look like people. Like 130 pounds. So brave. Yeah, and like, I do think that there are body types and they exist and that's great and we should just embrace them and not hold one in higher esteem over another. But I do get kind of annoyed when skinny girls say that they get bullied just as bad as chubby girls. Because, like, every time I see a skinny girl get bullied, somebody's yelling something at them like, hey, eat a sandwich. I'm like, I love doing that. You want me to eat a sandwich? No problem. I think I just might. But, like, no one ever just tells me to do that out of nowhere, usually because I'm probably already eating a sandwich. But I just think if you're going to yell like helpful suggestions at people out your car window, you should do that for everybody. Like, hey, why don't you stay home from work and masturbate all day? I'm three steps ahead of you, kind stranger. I know exactly what to do with that scenario. I am in a situation where I am 30 years old and a lot of the people in my life are having babies, which is fine if you're a baby. But like, there's a lot of baby pictures out there on the internet of my friends, and like, I'm used to seeing their like sexy club, like party dress pictures, but now they're like, it's like a black and white sexy portrait with like a baby on their bare breasts, like, this is my divine femininity, and let's embrace it together. And I'm like, I have no problem with the fact that you had a baby in your arms and saw a sensual opportunity there. I just don't understand it, because like when I look into the eyes of a baby, the last thing I want to do is have sex ever again for the rest of my life. And it's like, it's not like I hate babies, but I don't like them. I was like, the way that I think about babies is the way I think about goats. You know, they're cute. And yes, I will look at your photos of those, but if you're like, you want to hold one, no thanks. Don't see the appeal. I think it's going to smell weird and it's going to make sounds I don't understand. I'd be frowned upon for taking it to Moxie's. That's how I feel about that. I'm going to leave you with this. I've been doing a little bit of dating lately, because they have that on the internet now, so it's super convenient. So I've been doing that whole thing. And I try, when I make a profile, I try and really, like, showcase my unique personality and tell people what I'm all about. You know, I'll be like, I like vegan cuisine, or like stationery boutiques, or like mermaid paraphernalia, you know, like just normal stuff. And there's a lot of the guys on there, the guys that I get responses from, they're all kind of the same. They're all very like, MGD, BBQ, UFC, go jobs, a lot of testosterone just coming right at me. I'm like, my hobbies are sweating, getting punched in the face. Like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like, and then there's guys on there that are just mean for the mere sake of it. Like, I got a message from this one guy, and like, okay, I have a cupcake tattoo. That's just because I'm adorable. And this guy sent me a message, and he was like, ooh, sweet and sexy with no personality, I'm gonna call you Cupcake. And I was like, all right, well, you're unpleasant and something I generally avoid, so I'm gonna call you Communal Showers at the Y. We only dated for like a year after that, so that's good. All right, thanks. Yeah, come see me at the Winnipeg Wonderful. Show.
Melanie right. Dowling, everybody.
Yeah. Melanie Dowling.
Excellent.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, you're not going to do any of that material at the Comedy Fest.
I'm going to do all different material.
This is actually, like, this is your audition, to be honest with you.
Oh, God.
Al likes to put people through unusual tests to decide whether or not they're going to do the festival.
You were almost part of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
Almost, yeah.
Your podcast.
That's right. I almost made it in, and then he got here, and then that just completely compromised everything. It's kind of like a...
Steve Sim told it to me. He said, they get about 8 or 9 people, and then I got here, and there was 4, and that was it. The bloom was off the rose at the Purple Room.
Should I compare it to a kiss from a rose on the grave? Anyways, our next performer would have also been a standout track on the Batman Forever soundtrack had he been in a musical outfit. But no, he's half of an improv outfit, because many people need to know this, that the Winnipeg Comedy Festival isn't just stand-up comedians like Melanie or Al or JD here. No, the Winnipeg Comedy Festival is a variety of things, including sketch comedy and improv comedy. And our next guest is no exception to being an improv comedy. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Steven Sim.
Hello. So, my name is Steven Sim. I'm going to do some improv, which means I don't usually have a mic and a mic stand and a routine or any idea what I'm doing or practice or put anything into my craft.
You're in good company tonight, my friend.
Yeah, so this is kind of weird.
Welcome, sir. Welcome.
I don't know.
You're as prepared as I am.
So I'm going to do some improvisation for you right now. So, and to do that, to prove that I'm improvising, I'm going to ask for some inspirations from the audience. And then we'll see what my brain comes up with. So maybe I'll ask for a location to start off with. So a non-geographic location. So somewhere not on a map. An ice cream shop. Interesting. Ice cream shop. So I'll take ice cream shop and I'll just see if I can milk that. No, it hasn't started yet. I'm going to start it now. Empty street. Brick building. Big windows, neon sign. It says, Ice Keem. The R is broken. We go through the window with a cool CGI effect where the camera doesn't break the window, it just kind of right through the window. It sounds a little like that. Behind the counter is Pete. Pete loves ice cream. And so he thought, because I love ice cream, I will work in an ice cream shop. Brilliant, right? Wrong. Don't work with what you love. Pete, can I help you? In walked Marie. Marie also loves ice cream, but she is smarter than Pete and knows not to work in an ice cream store. She knows to go to an ice cream store, get what she likes, taste it, and then leave. Hi, I'd like chocolate, please. We're out of chocolate. How can you be out of chocolate? Vanilla? We're out of vanilla. We're out of vanilla and we're out of chocolate. We're out of the two most popular flavors of ice cream. I guess I'll have tiger stripe. Sure. And as Pete reached down to the orange and black looking ice cream, the most non-ice cream looking ice cream she could ever order, and as he scooped out the orange and black, frozen ice cream, their eyes locked. Later that day, in the park. So how long have you worked at the ice cream shop?
Since I was 14.
How old are you now?
38.
That's a lot of years.
It feels like my life has been frozen in time. Why don't you leave? I'm trapped. I'm trapped. Pete. Was it Pete? It was Pete, wasn't it? Marie's not good with names. Yeah. Yeah, it's Pete. Marie, right? Pete was good with names. You have to be when you work in the service industry. Marie, he says. Marie. That's what he said. Marie. Save me. Well, how can I save you? I mean, you have to save yourself. Just don't go back. Don't go back, Pete. But what would I do? It's all I know. I'll help you. And their hands touched. His, sticky. Hers, not so much. But then, instantly sticky from his. And their hands stuck. And he smiled. And she smiled. And Pete never went back to that ice cream shop. The R never got fixed. And they lived happily ever after. All right. Okay.
Stephen Sim, everyone.
I'll just sit down. I'll use this, and then I'll pass it to.
Who made the ice cream shop suggestion, by the way? What's your name? Sean. Sean, come see me after the show. You just won two tickets to a Winnipeg Comedy Festival event.
Yeah.
Have a round of applause for Sean.
Oh my God.
There you go.
Audience participation.
Give tickets to a guy that likes to yell shit out at a show. That's a great idea.
Well, he's not Molson. He's not like trying to interrupt people's sets here. You know,
this man's going to get tickets too.
Yes. That was a great suggestion too. Yeah.
Good idea.
Crazy.
Is that your mother you brought with you, or? Okay. Are you going to take your mother to
sister.
The show?
Is that your sister?
No.
You got to be nice.
I see welcome. What you did there. Yeah.
Nice. If you were a professional wrestler, you'd be smooth, Stephen Sim.
Is that an actual wrestler?
No.
Okay. I don't know much about wrestling.
I'm just saying, as opposed to chunky Stephen Sim, or, you know.
Oh, right. This is a podcast. People can't see.
That's right.
You're quite svelte.
I'm svelte and smooth.
Those right, Zubas then. You're wearing are delightful.
Wow.
For those of you who are under the age of 20, Zubas were a type of pants that looked like some sort of neon tiger from a weird acid trip got skinned and put on the legs of professional athletes. If you're listening at home, Google Zubas.
Right now. We'll wait. We'll wait right here.
Excellent.
Just press pause.
So let's... do you guys want to bring up our next comedian?
Let's do that right.
Unless you need to take a break to thank your sponsors.
Yeah, who are our sponsors?
Zubas. Obviously.
Baskin-Robbins. The Purple Room here at Frame Arts Warehouse. How about a round of applause for Paul Little on the soundboard back there? I know you're all afraid of him, but...
So they're not afraid of him. They don't like him.
He's a good man. You know, you were in Steve Sim, Crumbs.
Yes.
And I was in a two-man, too, as you know.
Yes.
Al and George, and we would do separate stuff. But after George and I broke up, even though we weren't performing on stage together, you would see the other guy around once in a while. And I'm just saying out loud, I haven't seen... Lee White.
Are you okay?
In over a year.
You keep saying, you keep accusing.
I'm not accusing. Did you hear me accuse?
Okay, maybe not.
Maybe
just
to
now,
maybe a man with a guilty conscience. It sounded like an accusation.
Okay.
I'm just thinking out loud.
I don't appreciate.
I just haven't seen Lee around. That's all I'm saying.
I don't appreciate the police showing up.
I would
at
go
my
to
door,
the toad,
asking
I'd
questions.
I'd see Lee once in a while. Physically, alive in the city.
Well, the
and
last
all
time,
I'm saying is for about a fucking last, year, okay. I haven't seen the man.
Last
That's
time,
all.
Okay, well, the last time I saw Lee, he said he was going to try to cut down on drinking, and he hasn't been out. He hasn't been out.
Blaming the victim.
But he looked really sad when I last talked to him. He was really... really depressed and upset. So, I mean, I don't know. This is
turning into trap in the closet.
This is not the venue. I think at this point, it's more of a police matter.
Yeah, and I don't appreciate them showing up at my door asking questions. I know.
Nosy Parkers.
Nosy cops.
Hey, is Stephen guilty?
Let's hear it. A round of applause. We think cops are a little bit too nosy. A round of applause. Aren't they? Mind your own business.
I don't know much about the German scene in
Germany,
or the improv scene in Germany, but I can't imagine that the Berlin Improv Festival you told me he was at last time I saw you is 300 days long. That just seems a long. That's a lot of fucking improv.
They really like him. He's got a lot of gigs, and no, he's fine. He's fine.
Okay, whatever. It's fine. All right, whatevs.
Well,
none of my business.
Those of you who think Stephen is guilty of Velcroing Lee's ridiculous beard to some cinder blocks and throwing him at the bottom of the river, round of applause.
Maybe, you know.
Thank
this
you.
This is your jury, man.
Thank
Remember
you.
These faces.
Thank you.
All maybe right. If Lee White was out there listening and he phoned in by the end of the show, maybe it would disabuse a lot of rumors.
What if he texts me? What if he sends me a
if
text?
He sent, well, that anybody could send you a text.
Well, there's just no pleasing you.
I think I got a text from our next performer saying, hurry up, man.
Okay. All right. I can vouch for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Paul, no replacement found, Robloskis. Woo!
Thank you, Paul Little, for that song. I love that song. I apologize, actually. All these empty chairs here were actually meant for my family. The problem is we're in Central, and all my family is West Side, so we couldn't do it. They didn't want to show up. This is weird, man. By the way, fuck you, Paul Little. I don't like you. Everybody's like, give Paul Little props. You remind me of my obesity every time I see you, Paul Little. I don't need that reminder. Every single time. This is like a bad dream of mine, actually. It was the exact same dream I had 3 weeks ago, except it was Mike Bullard and not you. I was working on some shit about my dad. Shout out to the East Indian guys. I love the East Indian guys. You guys are East Indian, right? I don't know enough about brown people to know. Iraqi?
You're
I don't know what
racist.
You guys are. What are you? Molson, where are you? You're Pakistan. Well, my apologies. That's pretty close, right, though?
You say that once. I've known you for 10 years. I've never heard you once say, I love Pakistani guys. Not
I
once have
Pakistani
I heard.
Pakistani men.
I've heard you talk about Pakistani men, but I've never heard you once say, I love.
Is there, I don't know the difference. I don't Google enough to know the difference between Pakistan and East Indian people. Who is it that has the 95 cents pizza stores in the hood? Raise your hand. Not you guys, it's okay, it's East Indian people. I get it. I just think it's funny. I had a whole bunch of stuff about East Indian people, I'm not gonna do it anymore, cause that's not even you guys. That doesn't even concern you. I love just, yeah, but you guys are a lot alike though. I love the single East Indian dudes hanging out in a pack together, cause it always looks like you guys are ready to bang someone. That's just like one guy that's just ready to bang. You could be at a funeral at the grocery store. It just, you got cologne on, and I'm like, that's banging cologne on. I can smell it from here. Oh, man, I love Winnipeg. Winnipeg is full of culture. Winnipeg's racist, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I haven't read the article, Winnipeg's Most Racist in the McLean's magazine, but I actually do have a copy of the magazine in my car. I keep it with me. That literally is the largest racist card that you can pull out anywhere. I get pulled over by the cops. All I'm doing is just tapping the magazine. I'm like, I don't think so, officer. I'm not using it right, though. I went to the doctors, and they're like, we're really worried about you. And I tap the magazine again. I'm like, don't tell me this shit, doctor. I don't want to hear this. This is coming from your dad. I know it's coming from your dad. But Winnipeg, it's good. I love Winnipeg. Great people in Winnipeg, but it does have its handful of assholes. I was at the mall with my cousin yesterday, and there was this dude walking around with a shirt that said, "I love jizz." I was like, "How dare you?" I actually threw my Slurpee cup at him. It was half empty. I threw it at him, and I actually felt bad because I got closer, and his shirt didn't say, "I love jizz." It said, "I love jazz." And I ended up throwing another Slurpee cup at him. I'm like, "How dare you wear the shirt in public?" This is embarrassing for everybody. And I should have known, because I'm like, the Montreal Jizz Festival, as much as I wanted that to be a thing, that is not actually a thing.
It is actually a thing.
We've all been to St. Catherine's.
You've just
Street.
Never been.
Yeah, I would never go. I'll hook you up. We got to go sometime. Me and Al?
We'll go.
Teach me about life. Al actually had me thinking, you came out of the closet, which is funny. You make it funny, right? But I remember my first interaction with a gay guy, with a gay person. He was a guy, so he's a gay guy. And, it was a little weird. My uncle, we're from the res, we're a little bit behind my times. Now, I know my uncle isn't a homophobe, but he kinda is, but I know that just because of like his old school sort of mentality, that he was kinda just a little, just confused about the whole situation. And I kid you not, I quote you, he told that guy, he goes, "Go back to your country, faggot." That's what he said. And I was like 12 years old, and I was like a smart 12-year. I was like, I wonder what country my uncle thinks that is. Just out of curiosity.
It's England.
It's England. I would have said Sweden or something like that, but I don't know much about the world. I really don't. I actually got back at my Uncle Willard. This is a true story. I got back at him years later. I didn't like my Uncle Willard. He was an asshole. I had my own bedroom. I was about 17 years old. I masturbated a lot, as most 17-year-old or 30, whatever guys are old, whatever old you are. We all do it, right?
So you do love jizz. Really.
I do love jizz. I didn't love it, but I dealt with it. You know what I mean? Like, I never washed my towel, my masturbation towel. That's how I dealt with jizz. I'm like, I know you're there. I'm not going to look at you. Don't shake your head. You never masturbated in the towel. Oh, you guys like wasting water every 5 minutes. I get it. Oh, all of a sudden you're going in a bath again. Nobody needs that. Anyway, as I was saying, I masturbated into a pink towel every night, and I left it actually on my dresser. My Uncle Willard, same Uncle Willard that comes in, his asshole, he comes in barging in, he goes, "It smells like sex in here," and he literally grabs my masturbation towel and then wipes the sweat off. And I high-fived myself, and it actually started, wait, he started breaking out with some weird shit in his forehead. It was the weirdest thing I ever seen in my life. And on STDs on your forehead, I'm going to stop it there and thank everybody for coming out tonight. I don't know. Woo. I don't know.
Here we go. Paul Roblaskis, everyone.
I'm sweating.
Did I take it?
That was good.
Yeah, why don't we do it?
I was hoping you would share more of your traditional Aboriginal stories.
Well, you gotta come out to more CBC festival shows if you want to do that then.
I liked your opening joke from last year's comedy festival. What was it? The nickname they had for you backstage?
Was funding. CBC, because
I see that most people, it's got to be these millennials, they're not familiar with broadcast standards, I think.
They don't get it.
No.
Do you know, I'll embarrass him because I tell the story every time. This young man, Paul Roblaskis, actually worked for the Winnipeg Comedy Festival one year when he was, you were like 16 years old?
Yeah, it was an Aboriginal program that was dealing with media, and as an intern, they sent me to the comedy festival when I was, yeah, it was like 2003, 2005. I was really young.
Yeah, you were very young.
I spent about 6 months at the church at Pulford.
Yeah.
With Al, and I got to go on some roads and stuff, and then.
And I've told people, and I mean this sincerely, I'm not kidding, he was the hardest working guy that we've ever had at the festival.
Yeah.
And he was an intern, he was unpaid.
Yeah.
And
I was getting paid for my band, secretly.
You were getting paid
for
the band, you were getting a little money.
I was still getting sponsored
getting
and shit,
yeah.
I would have
been. We weren't
free.
Giving him any money.
Yeah.
And he worked his ass off, and
he was so good. Yeah.
He was so good that we were gonna, like a week before the festival, we were gonna give him a job, and I was very excited, and he was very prompt every day, he came in. Every day. It's not that long a fucking story. Jesus Christ.
It's got a good ending, the story.
Oh, my God.
Somebody texted them, and now they have to bang, right? Somebody sends them a bang text. They're like, there's some...
Come to the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
Come check out some of the shows, you guys.
Oh, yeah. You give them some free tickets.
I'm
going to loudly announce my exit from this live recording. Can I have my free stuff before I go?
As I loudly interrupt your show, can I gather my prize?
Yeah. Here are two tickets to the Winnipeg show. So you have to see some of these performers again and hang your head in shame.
I'm in that one.
Melanie's in that.
That's right.
Yeah. Stay, but stay for the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, please.
I don't know if you guys know this, but here in Canada, walking out halfway through is a route.
Also, like, who are you going to bang at 9 p.m. exactly? Like,
guys.
I think the best banging happens at 9.
That's ample banging time at 9 o'clock.
That's totally fine. Yeah.
It's the banging hour.
Where were we? Al, you were telling a story.
I was telling.
Long story short.
Cut a long story short. I got in. He was always very prompt. But one that the day I was going to give him a job, he doesn't show up.
Of course.
And then I found out he got his girlfriend pregnant.
My ex-girlfriend got pregnant, but she miscarried, though.
She miscarried.
So the whole situation, you could say, was miscarried.
It was miscarried.
The job was miscarried?
Yeah.
But long story short. He was a hard worker, and I enjoyed working with you so
and
much.
Yeah, and I had no intentions of actually wanting to be a comedian at the time. I was trying to figure myself out, and I'm not saying that's the reason why I do comedy.
I was so delighted when he came, and he was started doing stand-up.
I can't stop thinking about my ex-pregnant girlfriend now, man. I haven't thought about her in a while.
You want to do another type five?
Let's do something to take Paul's mind off of of that thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a component of the live show that we've done every other time. This is something called the whiteboard game. JD, can I get some whiteboard game music?
No.
All right. I'm going to distribute some whiteboards to all of our guests.
Oh, wait, hang on. Perfect. There. Go-Go's. Perfect whiteboard music. All this vamping in the biz.
So another visual bit for the audio recording.
That's right.
Maybe after the McLean's article, we could find another name than whiteboard, guys.
Yeah, a clear board.
A clear board, a diversity board, a rainbow board.
You guys are gonna have to share a pen, a whiteboard, dry erase marker.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
I couldn't find the other one. Alright, so what I do in this segment is, it's all like, you know, your popular games, your newlywed games, your Mad Libs, things like that. I'm gonna give you guys some questions.
Sweet.
And, you're gonna write your responses down on the whiteboard.
This is great radio.
And then we're going to reveal your answers one by one. Everyone's gonna get an opportunity to reveal their answer to the audience.
Move over, debaters. We got a new hot ticket.
This is
That's
great.
That's right. Alright, so our first question is actually, it's one I'm gonna recycle from a previous show because I love it so much.
Okay.
A major network is offering you a TV series. Here's your pitch. It's like blank meets blank.
Okay.
So basically
So you wanna write what the first blank is and then what the second blank is?
Yeah, you wanna write them both down, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like one TV show meets another TV show, basically.
Do we have to use that format though?
Like blank meets blank?
No, TV show.
I mean, you could do a movie if you want, or a song, or something that translates out into the television medium.
Are we being timed?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, like, no, but these people would eventually like to go home, I'm sure.
They know that they can just leave whenever they want.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, apparently.
They're well aware of that now, yes.
Molson, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, which you're not,
guarantee you he is not listening to this.
This is like a television show from 1948, right?
If only we could smoke on stage.
I never liked his beer anyway.
Yeah.
Right, guys? Because his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just guessing it was Molson. I don't mean to be insensitive or anything, but I heard Molson and he never corrected me.
Oh man, that's what I started calling him after that.
Yeah.
He knew my name when he walked in. I had no idea who it was.
Yeah, I thought he was your buddy.
He knew my last name, too. That's a hard thing to know my last name.
Roblauskas?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, I've tried to, like, write your name in my phone a bunch of times, but it just keeps coming up as no replacement found.
It happens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you meant by when you introduced him.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was an inside joke between him and himself.
That's right.
I thought it was like you were trying to replace Paul and you couldn't find anybody.
Yeah. That's actually that's pretty much the basis for every joke I've ever written is, it's a joke between me and myself. And that's why it never translates out too well to an audience. Because you're not me.
I changed my answer. That's how long does this take?
All right. Yeah. Well, why don't we start with Melanie if she's ready to go?
Okay. I wrote, me meets John Stamos, and we kiss each other.
Oh. Oh man, I did this wrong. How do you do this?
I didn't.
It'd be like, it's like Seinfeld meets, the A-Team.
Okay, yeah. No, I did it right. I did it right.
Is that yours? Cause that's awesome.
Yeah. I would watch that
show. That would be a good show.
Yeah. I thought I was just writing, like, those were just
who
my,
are these terrorists?
My hopes and dreams. Yeah.
Mr. T sliding into the door room.
What's the deal with milk?
Okay.
I ain't afraid to fly. I pity that fool.
All right,
and
Paul.
We're done. I mean, yeah. Where else can we go?
Yeah. Congratulations, Western civilization. You've hit your peak.
Can you set it up for me and I'll say the blanks?
Yeah, you've got it. You've got it. So a major network has given Paul Roblaskis a TV show. It's like
Danger Bay
meets
Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Nobody believes in me and then I prove them wrong like Teen Wolf did.
which was indeed a metaphor for racism all along.
Yeah,
Teen Wolf.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah, because anything, as Matt Nightingale says, anything was better than a white dude playing basketball in the 80s. All right, Stephen, do you have your...
He's got two, it looks like.
Yeah, I've got two.
Okay, Stephen Sim, if Major Network were to give you a TV show, it's like...
Boy
meets
girl.
Oh.
It's a classic. I misunderstood.
That's gonna do really well.
Yeah. Oh, you got another one there.
But yeah, I've got a TV show one as well.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. I was gonna say that Melanie could be the girl and John Stamos could be the boy.
Well, you guys,
yeah, you guys could work on that together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So Stephen Sim is given a TV show. It's like
Littlest Hobo
meets
Due South.
So basically,
he's run maybe tomorrow, and then he runs across, but he doesn't realize it's the border, and a U.S. security guard tasers him
to death. And it could be called "Yes, They Taser Dogs."
I just love the visual of a dog trying to drive a car across the border.
He's just sitting there on a train.
Looking in the
he
window.
On a train.
Little homes
don't have cars.
Excuse me, sir. Can I please see some ID?
Question mark. As a dog.
He's like Marmaduke. He's just got a copy of the Sunday Times in his mouth. No, I said your ID, sir. All right, Al. Major Network gives you a TV show. It's like...
I have a boy...
Okay.
Meets boy.
Oh,
you see how I...
It's a very 21st century version
I
of
have, I do have, like Steve, I have another one. It's like the D-List, remember that show?
Yeah.
Meets Schindler's List. So we take these worthless human beings.
Yeah. Schindler's
and
then D-List.
I have another one.
Okay.
It's like Steve meets... Where is Lee White?
Hey, now that's Lee. Please call in. Please.
Where
please
is Lee, by the way?
Oh, I just got a text from him. Oh, I'm still alive. It says.
For those of you at home, he's looking at a marker.
Yeah.
All right, I got to throw another question out there, guys.
Okay, and we're using our diversity board.
Yeah, you've got it. Okay. In the next couple of years, I hope to be on the cover of Blank Aficionado magazine. In the next couple of years, I hope to be on the cover of Blank Aficionado magazine. JD, what magazine cover would you hope to grace?
Aficionado, Paul, is a...
thank you for that. I've never heard of that kind of magazine before.
It's not the sequel to Sharknado.
I'm a guitar aficionado, somebody that really covets guitars and enjoys and really has an affinity for guitars.
There's a really famous one called Cigar Aficionado, which is just basically like...
Is there another... famous one?
I don't. There's Cat Fancy though, and I just thought that
can
one
we just
be
no. There's Guitar Aficionado, Cigar Aficionado.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All aficionados have to end in ER though. Sitar Aficionado.
Bobar.
We're using a couple of
aficionados.
It's interesting that they have Cat Fancy and Cigar Aficionado because Cat Aficionado sounds creepy.
Cat Fancy.
I don't like that at all.
Cigar Fancy.
No.
Yeah, Cigar Fancy sounds like
Cigar Fancy. There's some
implications.
I wrote Boy
Clinton
Meets
Joke
Girl.
20 years ago. Let's move on.
Is
Boy Meets Girl aficionado?
Yeah.
Taxidermy aficionado is one I subscribe to.
Nice. Let's go. Is that your? Well, let's go with JD.
No. I'm going to put one down.
Magazine aficionado.
The cover
nice.
Of.
All right, moving on.
The front cover is just JD in a room full of magazines.
Magazines. Love magazines.
Just every article is like, did you read that interview with Sting and Spin?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love people who love things.
Yeah.
So I love Aficionado magazine.
An expert.
And all the photos are of pictures of people reading magazines, and you can just kind of like glance over their shoulder. It's really popular for people who like to stalk but don't have the gumption to do it in person. It's really a good way to get that out of your system.
It's just profiles of people who have homes that look like Red River Books. A lovely bookstore with some amazing finds that looks like a crazy man's basement.
So, Al, do you have an answer written down?
We're starting on this side.
Uh-oh. Yeah. We're doing the reverse.
I have a few. One is, this probably obvious, is I would like to be on the cover of Al Ray Aficionado, because I'd like to imagine that there was a Oprah has a magazine.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And I would like to imagine, like Oprah, that I have enough of a narcissistic personality disorder that not only would I name the magazine after myself, but I would put myself on the cover. So that's my one wish. The other one would be that I would be on the cover of Lee White Aficionado. and that there would be holding up a sign saying hope with a question mark as we celebrate being the wrong word, the 10th year of non-Lee White sightings in anywhere on the planet.
Getting away with murder.
I knew it!
It's just a wish.
That is a confession.
That's a confession.
We have that on record. Now let's see who actually listens to it.
It's a wish. It's a pipe dream. It's not even.
Right.
If it was real, it
whatever,
would.
OJ, whatever, OJ.
Anyone else starting to think that Molson was a private investigator? And he's got enough information to finally go back to HQ.
I got nothing here.
He just missed his scoop.
Yeah, he could have had.
On his trail for years.
Yeah. No,
that's, trail's gone cold.
Must be the different Steve Sim.
Paul,
I got one serious one and not one serious one. Well, the not serious one is fishing aficionado, just because I thought the words were similar. And I
that's
thought
a better
be funny.
Pun than I did. Than
I spelled aficionado, Fishanato. Mm. Aficionado. And my
you
serious
so
one.
Nice.
I don't want to say the serious one because I don't feel people are taking me serious. But
are they here?
Men's Health Magazine. This is what I hope to be honest with. I started working out last week, and I feel really confident in the way it's going right now.
Don't give up, Paul.
Yeah, because you said, like, in years, right? Like, what was the question again? It was what magazine?
Yeah, within the next few years.
And how many years? A few years, yeah.
Okay.
So I stick by it.
So technically, you're looking to have found, like, Lee White, like, years from now. Like, the investigation is going to be ongoing. We're going to reveal the plot as it...
Germany.
Yeah, exactly. Melanie, darling, you've been awfully quiet over there.
Well, because I'm living with my mom, aficionado. So if you'd like to know anything about my mom, there's also going to be an offshoot of that magazine that's borrowing money from my mom, aficionado.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your mom specifically? Or
to my mom.
Your mom. Yeah, it's all.
Jean Leckie.
There you go.
Is her name.
She's the next Oprah. She'll have her own magazine as well.
Yeah.
On the cover of everyone.
But it's just how to live with her and, like, enjoy her company, which is easy because she's a treat.
Is she easy to borrow money off of?
if you get on her good side.
Oh, perfect.
She has said that she enjoys you as a person.
Ah, even double perfect. We got that going.
Right. Yeah. Good smile. You just watch the Mindy Project with her. And that goes over well.
And that's when the party stops.
Great
show. Go and check it out if you're
That's right. If there's one thing you can take from this conversation, it's go home and download the first season of the Mindy Project.
Yeah. We'll be a She's much better.
She's come such a long way from the office. She really has.
Much better use of your time.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the annual subscription to this podcast?
The annual subscription?
If I sign up a friend, do I get a rebate?
Yeah. About 10,000 people is we've hit for downloads. So
I didn't know that.
Oh, but it's free of charge.
Yeah.
Oh, people don't pay to listen.
No, people they tune in on 101.5 UMFM Sundays at midnight, assuming they just finished masturbating and need something to do. Or they can download it off of iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Liberated Syndication, which everyone calls Libsyn, but I have a lisp and I hate saying that word. And also you can go to our website, thesupportingact.com. I feel like we're
See how I forced him to be professional.
Yeah, well done, Al.
And you did a good job, Matt. That was very
Thank
professional.
You. Yeah, you can also you can email all your questions. If you're Molson, you can email us at tsapodcast@gmail.com. Follow us.
I know what that guy's name is.
Yeah. If you want to email me your correct name, Molson, just send it to tsapodcast@gmail.com.
I think Molson, if he comes back, has he been before?
He must have.
Yeah, if Molson comes back, I think you should ask him if he would give you like a loony.
Yeah.
And then every week you could say the podcast was sponsored by Molson.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I think you're not lying.
And you wouldn't be lying.
Yeah.
I get it.
You get it?
I get it.
Yeah.
Where's Lee White?
Yeah.
That you're not getting.
All right, guys. Let's get into some plugs for your upcoming events. Everybody on this stage right now, except for myself, will be appearing in the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
You will be there too, young man.
I will be there. I will be enjoying your luxurious spreads at your various after parties and awkwardly walking up to your comedians and saying, weren't you that guy from that thing? And then quietly going back into the corner and eating shrimp to myself quietly.
To yourself?
Shrimp is a pretty quiet
It's like a courtship?
Yeah, I was going to say shrimp's
eating
pretty quiet.
Shrimp to myself.
Shrimp
CD.
To myself. Shrimp aficionado.
All right, so who starts?
Okay, so this is where we plug our shows.
That's right. That's right.
Well, for fans of The Littlest Hobo and Due South, I'm doing a show called TV Dinner, where we're going to turn down the sound on classic Canadian TV shows and turn up the comedy of those classic Canadian TV shows. That'll be at the Met, I believe.
So you play clips of the shows and then you like improv over the scenes.
We'll turn the sound down. We'll improvise the dialogue over the scenes.
There was a show. Movie Science Theater, was it? Movie
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Showtime, they did that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they called me and they said, hey, Steve, we don't do our show anymore. Would you do something like that? And I was like, sure.
But that sounds like fun. And then there's a dinner, too?
And there's a dinner, too. And it's a TV dinner-inspired dinner.
Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, hey, can we microwave them all? And the chef got a little insulted, but... but the meal is a delicious chef-made meal inspired by the TV dinner concept. And
betcha some fried chicken.
I think it might be turkey, but what do I know? I don't keep track of birds.
three square millimeters of cranberry pudding.
And I would hope that it's in little squares, but I don't know. I've got no control of that. But I will be doing some of the comedy there at the Met, the beautiful Met downtown on a Thursday, April 9th. Do I get that date correct, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Paul is basically circling his...
he's just circling his show so he knows what he's doing. That, amongst some other shows, are doing
Lost
the high school improv show, The Lost in Translation, Perdu en Quoi.
Yep, that's
going to be good. French, Franco-Manitobans and Anglophones improvising together.
What?
Ouais.
Oui. Français et puis also in English. A French English improv show, and that'll be fun. And you know what? I'm going to be around. I'm going to be at all the shows, so you can just you can come up to me and I'll tell you a joke.
Perdu en quoi would be lost. Lost in what?
Lost in what?
Lost in
I think it was like they were like.
Because quoi is French. What's the French word for where?
Ooh.
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 Ooh. Ooh. That's why the French are so sexy. All their words are like, ooh.
Everything's a mystery.
Steve.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lee White.
I believe you need to pronounce it like this. Ooh, Lee White.
Paul, what are your appearances at the comedy festival looking like?
Monday, April 6th, I'll be doing the Upper Deck, Porter Street Live at the Goodwill. Ryan, my buddy Ryan Ash is going to be there too. I'll be doing that. And I think I'm going to be on the Debaters. That's not confirmed yet, but I think it's happening.
You're at the Debaters, yes?
Yeah, I'm in the Debaters.
Yeah, so I don't know
when the date is for that, but come check it out. Bruce Clark and I are going to be debating bingo.
Bingo. That's
and
right.
Then, not that you didn't do a terrific job selling those shows.
Yeah.
But, so the, and this Portage Street Live.
At the 360.
Right. And we all know it's Portage Avenue, but we're
at the Goodwill.
The street.
At the Goodwill.
We're hitting the word street because it's going to have an urban feel. We're hoping, is that right?
And that's why I'm there.
And Ryan
that's right.
I wear my hat to the side.
So little of the hippity hoppity.
And also the Millennium Library. I'm going to be performing there as well during the afternoon for the free show.
And checking your Facebook.
Yeah.
While you're down there.
So add me up on Facebook and I'll tell you how everything is going down.
And Melanie, darling?
I am in on April 8th. I'm in the Winnipeg show at the Club Regent Event Center.
Nice.
And John Youngberg, formerly Breakfast Television, is on that show as well. Big Daddy Taz is hosting.
Legends.
The Regent.
Winnipeg Legends.
Regent Entertainment Center. That's a new venue for
that
us.
Winnipeg show has been one of the most popular shows since we started. You know, it's amazing. People really come out for the local comics, and they've been terrific shows.
Great shows.
And a brand new venue.
I'm going to be on the, thanks for asking, I'm going to be on the...
You got cast in some of these shows?
Yeah, I did cast myself.
Okay. That's...
I'm going to be on the 50 Shades of Gay.
Gay?
Get it? Show?
Shout out to Chantal Marastica.
The first half of that show will be Chantal Marastica. We're calling it Battlestar Marastica.
Nice.
Steve Sim came up with that. And then the second is Coming Out Swinging 2. Oh. And I'm going to be on that thing. And that's people, they're going to do a little set, and they're going to tell a coming out story about how they came out. So it'll be inspiration as well. And that show hosted by Paul Rob Liaskis.
No.
He'd be the swinging part.
You know what? Darcy Michaels hosted. I hate Darcy Michael for how much weight he's lost, because he used to be fat like me, and now he's not fat like me anymore.
He's slimmed down.
And nobody knew you were fat until you mentioned it on this recording.
This is an audio. I'm breathing like a fat guy right now. Al, what's going on with the mics? And there's also
thank you for bringing that up, Paul. On the Sunday night at the Event Center, we have a show called The Mics, which is our first award show.
Yeah.
We're going to have a male stand-up award, a female stand-up award. The winners will be performing sets.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to have an award for a volunteer, the Tom Anico Award. And this is exciting. Anyone that comes to the Winnipeg Comedy Festival this year will have an opportunity to vote for their favorite comic.
Crazy.
And that comic, too, will win a mic. And they're called a mic because of those old-style kind of microphones on a stand that are fully operational. And the second half of that show, for the same ticket price, is our roast of John Wing.
John Wing.
And if you're a fan of roasts...
Roasted wings.
You're a fan of roasts, aren't you, Paul Rob Liaskis?
I love the roast and
you
the wings.
You like a big roast day for breakfast?
You like the roast and the wings.
Pound roast beef for breakfast.
I've been feeling his pain all night. I feel like this has secretly been a roast for yours truly the whole time. So I'm glad you're getting your shots in.
You're eminently roastable. But you just, nobody knows who you are. Yeah. That's the problem. Otherwise, you're the perfect guy to roast.
It's kind of cruel. You're ridiculous. Some guy.
It's a pity roasting, yes. I've never heard of that before. J.D. Renault, my co-host for the
mercy
evening.
Mercy roast.
Yes. On Sunday, March 29th, I'm going to be doing the Supporting Act podcast live at the Purple Room.
Yes!
Which we're really hoping is going to be considered part of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
It will be.
Excellent.
If you're hosting, it is.
Really it's looking forward to that. Yeah, they got a quality host.
It's in there.
Cool. Awesome.
It's gold stamped.
Killer. All right. On Thursday the 9th, I will be at the Millennium Library doing one of the fabulous noontime shows there.
And those are loads of fun.
Yeah. And free. Hey, Winnipeg.
Stacks.
Free.
Adam Schwartz, local comedian, works at the Millennium Library.
And so then I remember one year a comic was doing a bit and he's screaming, fuck! Right? And then someone said, are the library okay with that? I said, yes, the downtown Winnipeg Library is okay with people screaming fuck. Because that's just the Tuesday.
We had to tell the people screaming fuck to be quiet for the
comedy show. So we could get our fucks in.
I personally can't wait to see if the homeless people will get off their Facebooks to watch us do comedy. I really cannot wait to see if that's going to happen.
They do.
They're my people. They're my people.
They do. They tweet. They tweet and vote.
They tweet is going on right now at the...
And so I'm going to push hard for that award. I'm going to be like, all right, all of you, please. And finally, Saturday, the 11th of April, 10:30 p.m. at the Park Theater, the Alternative Show. I'm looking very much forward to that.
Oh, that's going
to
be a lot of fun.
I'm very looking forward to that. Alternative 2 comedy?
Not Alternative 2
it's
comedy.
It's going to be sad.
Okay.
No, this is the Alternative to Comedy Show.
Yes.
Right.
But it was one of those things where it's like any kind of math equation. You only had one variable. And with JD's just the one name, you could have imagined it was an alternative.
I didn't know.
But when you add Mark Forward and stuff, then that begins to dissipate. And you realize it's
for me, like alternative medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
Alternative to medicine. I don't know. I get confused.
Mm-hmm.
But J.D. Renault is going to be there
sure
at the Park Theater on a Saturday night. That's going to be one heck of a Saturday night.
That's awesome. Mark Forward hosting, a lot of cool locals, Tim Gray, Tyler Penner, Dan Robertson, lots of good people in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. J.D., can we have a little goodnight music? There we go. There's the song. Thank you so much to everyone for coming out. Big round of applause for Stephen Sam. Big round of applause for Al Ray.
Thank you.
Mr. Paul, no replacement found, Robloskis. And Miss Melanie Darling, ladies and gentlemen. You have been a tremendous audience.
They're great.
Yeah, I've got to say, for as many of you as there are, yeah, you've been fantastic. So thank you so much for coming out here. Thank you to Paul Little for giving us the music tonight, for giving us the venue, and for just being so hospitable.
I've heard Mark Maron's podcast, and it sounds like there's fucking nobody there. And so
we're one up of that.
You're
one up
like
of that.
Way more.
Sounds like he's doing it in a garage. Like, this is way better. I love this.
Yeah. That's exactly it. All right. So thank you so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. And this episode will be dropping on... Actually, I probably shouldn't fucking say, because this audio is going to make it onto the podcast, and there would be no point in telling you when it's dropping. But if you want to hear your applause and your laughter, you can listen on Sundays at midnight at 101.5 UMFM, because I'll probably end up playing this episode again at some point in time, because I occasionally don't get my episodes into the station on time. Anyways, that's also on record now. So thank you so much for coming out once again. I'll be handing out your tickets to everybody who won them during the show. Thank you so much. And
sounds like the ball you're dropping.
Yeah, that's the ball I'm dropping.
To the,
to the
station on time there.
That's right. Support your local everything, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, everybody's got to open for somebody sometime. Good night. See you.